And dreams that fall down from the clouds inside my sleep. Sometimes if they are fake, but they still dig deep. And when I follow them to the back of my mind, I find that I've gone too far this time. Too far this time.
Here we are. We're live.
Alrighty.
What's going on, man?
Not much. How are you?
Good, good. Gonna have talk about some serious stuff today.
Yep.
You gave me a little bit, but I didn't realize how deep this rabbit hole goes. So it's gonna be a very interesting topic. I think we're gonna learn a lot about each other, and hopefully your story can help a lot of people out that are going through this. Before we get into that, before we introduce you and go through all that, I just want to thank our sponsor. I tried to freestyle it for a second there to see, like, I got the confidence. Abaddon Tattoo Studio, a unique professional experience nestled in the small town of Pine Grove, Pennsylvania. They provide high-quality tattoos and piercings in a relaxed, professional, and sterile environment. You can check their links below, making sure the watermark is on. It is. They do a great job. I have a few tattoos there. My wife has a bunch. I don't know. I shouldn't even say anything. But they may have a second location coming, so that's pretty exciting.
Awesome.
I don't know what's out and what's not, but then we also want to thank our Patreon people. Patreon is just general support. I was doing bonus episodes there, but it was just too much to do everything. So it's either $1 or $5, whatever you're comfortable, or if you want to go anything else besides that, you can. It is open to do so. So we want to thank Tommy B, the Tree of Life Metaphysical Shop, Brad Zalonis, Higher Earth in Other Words Podcast, Jay and Austin Blackwell. Thank you all for the support, and a lot of that helps us getting better equipment and upgrading and all that fun stuff. We do have new mic stands coming. I'm pretty excited about. They're like better travel ones because these are 120 pounds once you pull them all apart.
Yeah,
so that's coming soon. We did make an announcement as well that we have removed two shows from the network. Little inside information, I work night shift, so I'm literally just waking up probably like an hour and a half ago. Work night shift, and it's hard to try to get everything done in a Friday, Saturday, Sunday environment. So it was just really, really hard to do all five shows. They're not gone forever. Hopefully, if work hours change and stuff, we can bring back Not Cool in High School as well as Truth Behind Illusion. But we can also talk about that here on this show, interviews with everyday people. I do have some possible paranormal topics coming up soon, or some definitely have a conspiracy one coming up. Which is going to be a lot of fun. Someone reached out to me, and they told me what they want to talk about, and it's so polar opposite of what I believe in. So it's going to be a fun conversation. So look forward to that in the future. Also, if you're a wrestling fan, two shows this weekend. One, PPW Entertainment. I'll be doing live commentary there that night. Probably going to do terrible, so you can come make fun of me and pick on me. As well as the Sanctuary in Hazleton is doing a show, so I'll be doing commentary for both of those. Very, very excited. Did not think 3 years ago starting, sitting in my kitchen, I would be asked to do some of the stuff I've been doing with this podcast, so I'm pretty pretty thankful for it. But let's get into our show and talk. Yeah, give us an introduction here.
My name's Dustin Gottschall. I'm sure most people watching this know me. If not, I grew up in the area. I've lived in Ashland, Pottsville, Schuylkill Haven. I've played sports all my life. On my free time, I like to go riding on my four-wheeler, and I used to have a dirt bike, and I would race. Now I just work, and planning on starting my own business soon, actually.
Nice.
As a Hotshot Trucking. Just to give you a little info about that, basically just delivering goods for people all around the country. So see how that goes, hopefully.
Interesting.
Hopefully well.
So what are we talking about here today?
Today we're going to be talking about a little incident that happened in my life when I was younger. I was sexually abused or assaulted, whatever you'd like to call it. So basically the reason I wanted to come on was to spread awareness about it more. I feel like it's something that's not talked about as much in our area, and especially coming from a male, it's just something that you wouldn't expect more, especially for someone to talk about it. And I just want to share what happened with me and ways maybe people can identify that it's happening to somebody.
I am listening. I keep seeing the screen flash to my like peripheral, and I don't know if it's doing it or not, or if I'm just losing my mind. I think we're good.
just make sure.
That's the issue. Give me 1 second.
Yep.
We're so professional here. I apologize. I guess
moving my cables around. I took out the internet. All right, we're back. I apologize. My Ethernet cable fell out. So what was happening is it was flashing to tell me we're losing frames. So hopefully we're good now. Live chat is also open if you want to show support, if you want anything like that, comments, questions, the whole nine. This is definitely something a little out of my wheelhouse. I want to say right off the bat, I am not a professional. I'm not a therapist. The advice you're here are we're just having a conversation. This isn't anything like that. So if this advice helps you, if it doesn't, we're not professionals. We're just people having a conversation about an incident that happened.
Correct.
Won't say any names or anything like that.
Legally not allowed to.
Yes. So let's dive into it and kind of take us in the beginning, how this all came about and how it started.
Okay. So I was around like 6-7 years old when this started. It was a friend of my father's, would go over there in the summertime, ride quads and have barbecues and just hang out and enjoy spending time with people. Just out of nowhere, I can't really remember exactly how or anything, how it started, but just he would basically take me like into the woods or in his house and do things with me, and I wouldn't retaliate because I didn't know how to.
Mm-hmm.
Was too scared to tell anybody.
Did he make threats like,
no,
don't tell anybody, or like try to cover his tracks?
Yeah, kind of, but he wasn't like aggressive about it or anything. Mm-hmm. Basically just, you know, trying to hide it, but not yeah, like firmly or anything. And then there's also 6 other people that were involved, girls and boys, around the same age group as me. But that happened for about a summer, maybe a little longer. I honestly can't remember too well. And he ended up getting caught by one of the girls' mothers noticing bruises on her. And that's basically how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing I knew, my dad was questioning me about it. My parents were split up from when I was young. So he was taking me home one day to my mom's house, and he had brought it up. And I just kind of broke down and started crying. And I
just knew.
Yeah. I didn't know how to explain it. I couldn't talk about it. I felt like it was my fault. I knew it wasn't, but it's just like a feeling. Anybody that's gone through it can probably tell you that it's not something you can man up to.
Well, that's also the perception too. If you're a boy and you're going through it, and also with the it's I know this has nothing to do with it, but Pride Month, you know, and mm-hmm. growing up school county, the only insult as a white male you don't want to hear is being called gay or anything homophobic like that. So when that happens, you're like, I can't tell anybody, like mm-hmm. I'll get made fun of.
Yeah, type deal. Yeah, that was one of the big things too. I didn't want anybody to like be like, oh, you got abused by a guy, you're now gay. That's a correct term.
Yeah.
So that's like one of the things I'll tie into with like friendships and stuff like that. And so then after that, I would say like the following week, honestly, school was different, and basically my life was different for a little bit. It was constantly seeing counselors and talking to lawyers and maybe judges. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
It's probably all a blur at this point. You're young. And
I remember some of it. And then also children and youth had to get involved, obviously, because that's, you know.
Did this person, was he single, married, kids?
He was married. At the time, I want to say she was pregnant, his wife.
He had a kid in the way?
Yep.
It's terrifying.
Yep. So basically, I would go to this place in Pottsville, and it was right by like where Jerry's Car Museum is.
Okay, yeah.
By Duncan down there.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like just a bunch of like lawyers, and I guess like just maybe counselors or people trying to figure out like what exactly happened.
Mm-hmm.
My father would be there and they would be asking me like everything that happened step by step. Excuse me. And I would try to explain it to them, but just like, you know, once again, I couldn't. Just I would open my mouth and nothing would come out. They would try to get my dad to ask me. Once again, I couldn't say anything.
Yeah, that's not going to help either.
Yeah. So then, let's say, that went on for probably like a week straight, them trying to do that. And then, like, in school, they would try to get the counselor to, you know, get
Did the other help. Kids in your class or grade know about this?
Not that I'm aware of, just because, you know, we were so young and, like, I was bad in school, so I was always constantly getting pulled out of class for whatever.
So you were lashing out because of this?
Probably, yeah. Honestly, yeah. And also just with my childhood growing up, it was super rough. Maybe people don't see that, but...
Probably, I mean, I'm, like, once again, not a psychologist or anything, but, like, I can definitely say from, like, experience and past trauma as well, like I would act out or be bad to get the attention off of something else.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like if I'm being talked about for hitting somebody or getting into a fight or causing disruption in class, it's going to cause a distraction of what the information they keep grilling me about that I don't want to talk about.
Yeah,
type deal.
Yeah that probably plays along. So basically I was seeing counselors like every single day, like probably three times a day. Getting in trouble. I almost got shipped away to Milton Hershey School.
Which fucking probably been a lot worse because how many people go to those places and come out with sexual assault?
Yeah, like, you know, their minds are messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say probably like for like a month straight then, like Children and Youth was at my house every single day trying to get information out. And I just remember this one specific day, they came and they brought a chart. It was human anatomy.
Mm.
So they were trying to get me to, like, you know, what part did he touch? What part did he want you to touch? Stuff like that. And I just started bawling my eyes out. I couldn't do that. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's so odd to just sit there and try to point out something super traumatic.
Mm-hmm. And you're still young, man. You're like, you don't know about that kind of shit yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're just kind of thrusted into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's like, I don't know, terminology I didn't know. Like, I didn't know how to pronounce things. And
you're like, girl, you're being forced to kind of grow up quick.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're trying to do it. And I know, like, hearing the story probably secondhand is you're kind of thinking, like, well, why are these people, like, not leaving me alone and stuff like that? But it's they're also trying to do their just due to make sure this person goes away.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So it's a shitty situation that you have to put a kid through to kind of keep reliving it. And this is anyone of a sexual assault victim. Like, when they say, like, why did the people wait 10 years or why did they wait 6 years? Or why? Because it takes time for that person to mentally go through it.
Yeah.
So they are comfortable to talk about it. And it doesn't happen overnight. And then the month or years that lead up to after it happening is the time for that person still trying to figure out their mind or were they wrong? What happened? How could it have been different?
Yeah.
And figuring all that stuff out. So you and the humiliation and possible guilt and everything else that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just definitely not an easy thing to talk when it's fresh, but as an investigator, they need it when it's fresh so they can build a case.
Yeah.
So it's one of those like catch-22s where people are like, well, this person didn't report the crime right away. It's like, because that person probably didn't want to speak about it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's really, really, it's a tough, you know, double standard type thing.
Yeah, like, I didn't even be able to, like, I wasn't able to start telling people that were, like, super close to me until I was, like, 16, and nobody besides my fiance knows exactly everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason why is because she's the only person I feel like that won't ever judge me about that.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's like a couple people too that I could tell and I could trust. Like for instance, Dallas.
Yeah.
He's been one of my closest friends since I was young. So that's exactly why now I'm trying to come on so I could help spread awareness and, you know, just show that the people you know could have went through something crazy. Yeah. You would never know. And just, you know, always treat somebody as if they did go through something. Mm-hmm. And so
the biggest thing that I always try to tell people, especially living in small town school county, mm-hmm. is none of us are normal. You know what I mean? We're all, you know, skooks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's so much trauma and past things that have gone on in people's sexual, violent abuse. It's just rampant in our area.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't want to have that conversation, or a lot of people are too afraid to speak up and say, like, this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And having people come out and speak and tell their stories is really, really important. And just another thing I want to preference too, and this is more or less just on my end as a podcast, is I didn't reach out to you and ask you to come tell your story, because I encourage people to tell these kind of stories and come and be willing to talk and say, like, their experiences. And not everything has to be negative here. Like, we could talk, you know, fun stuff or pot, like, you know, but I definitely respect, and I'd say you're very, very brave and like strong for doing this. You know what I mean? Because someone can be listening or has someone who has a kid who, or someone they're close to, who is going to this, and maybe these things can help them help that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's one of those things, like, it's like throwing a rock into a pond. You know what I mean? You're mm-hmm. making a ripple, and that ripple can be a positive thing.
Yeah.
You know
that's what I mean? Exactly what I'm trying to shoot for here. And yeah you didn't reach out to me and everything. I reached out to you, wanted to just share my story.
Yeah, I don't want to seem like I'm cashing in on people's misery, because that's definitely not what I'm trying to do here.
No.
That's why for a long time I interviewed bands and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want the entire show to be about, like, well, here's somebody else gone through something with trauma. It's like, oh, and you're trying to cash in on people, and that's not what I want. Like,
the reason
why you're coming on is you've for the most part, I mean, you're never probably fully recovering. You're still always trying to figure things out, but you're at the point where you want to get this out to help others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it.
I'm not trying to pry details or anything, but, like, when this was happening, was it violent, or was it?
No.
Because the other person said you had bruises and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, like, how that would happen, but as far as me, you know, like, I guess you would say it was went smoothly. I mean, obviously the situation's bad, but, like, I probably could have, you know, maybe, like, said, like, okay, that's enough, but, like, mm-hmm. once again, like, I didn't know what he was capable of. Mm-hmm. Like,
he's an adult.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 6 years old, 50 pounds probably, so, like,
it's gotta be such a calculated thing, because, like, you said it would be a group of people, like, so there'd be a lot of people there.
Yeah, so, like, I would, like, people are going to probably wonder, like, how would he just get you away from these people? So, like, he would offer to take me out, like, on his four-wheeler and, you know, go into the woods and it would happen or something, or babysit me for one day or something.
And he's built up a trust with your parents that they didn't see anything wrong.
Never.
With
you would have never probably expected it, which is probably the most common thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
it just sucks, because then you lose trust in all humans. You know what I mean? Because there are good people who are like, hey, man, like I'll teach little Jimmy how to throw a football or something mm-hmm. like that. And then, like, in the back of your head is like, is this guy a creep, or is this a girl or guy? I don't want to generalize, but is this person a creep? And you're like, you know, it just kind of, it sucks that we're in a world that we can't trust each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's, like, another thing, too. Like when I have children one day, like, I'm going to be so, like, you know, like, curious as to, like, well, who are you? Like,
mm-hmm.
Even if it's somebody I'm close to, like, I just always have that trust that's, like, just waiting to disappear from somebody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I definitely, it's something that was always on my mind, because I grew up coaching soccer.
Yeah.
And when I came in, I was, like, super young. I was, like, 20-some. And I did it for a long time. But, like, when you're someone, and I didn't have kids. Mm-hmm. I'm just, like, a young dude who was willing to teach younger people soccer.
Yeah.
And I've always been that person who's helped the younger generation, because me and my brother are 11 years apart. So, and I used to go to the basketball court and somebody would be there. I'm like, yo, we'll help you work on your jump shot.
Yeah.
And the people are like, well, that's kind of weird. I'm not hanging out. I'm just trying, like, I'm someone older trying to mentor someone younger, but I'm not in a creepy, like, so it's like one of those things where it was always in my mind, like, you got to be careful what you say, like, what mm-hmm. you mean, you can't be around them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're only trying to be a good person to give that positive influence to somebody else, because being younger, you always looking for someone older to be that positive influence, and you're always seeking it out, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, because not every time is your parent or your dad or your older brother or cousins going to be a role model to you.
Oh, yeah.
It might be a complete stranger. You're like, you look up to them, and it's not, it's just kind of like that's what you're gravitated to, and then you put your trust in the wrong person as a kid, then now you're being groomed or you're being taken advantage of.
Yeah, that's it's kind of like I was going to say something about that too, because like if you ask a bunch of people, like, you know, people I hang around, they would say like I'm amazing with kids and everything. Mm-hmm. And then like, there's always like that thought is like, do these people think like, you know, maybe that I'm ever trying to do something? Because like I would never, ever, yeah. ever. And
well, I think what happens is a lot of people who don't go through the therapy and don't talk about it and don't open up and don't try to like fix the situation, like not so much. I don't want to say fix themselves because they were the ones who were essentially damaged or used,
yeah.
but are taken advantage of. If my terminology is wrong here for people listening, I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm just we're workshopping this. We're just having a conversation, no script, we're just talking. So if I say terminology that's inappropriate or something, I'm not trying to be. It just natural just conversation. Yeah. But there is people, a lot of people who then become the people who are abusing others are ones that were victims themselves because they didn't go and probably get that help and talk and figure things out because that trauma just, it can go two different ways. I always say it because I'm a big comic book nerd. You can either go the Batman route or you can go with the Joker route.
Yeah.
And everyone's one bad day away from going one way or the other.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%.
It's tough. Yeah.
Yes. So exactly what you were saying, like if I see a kid shooting a basketball wrong or something, I'm like, oh, here, let me help you out. And then like, you know, I see the parent looking at me and then I kind of just back off a little bit, you know, and just so.
Yeah, it sucks because you're trying to be a good human, but because the way society has been and people's trauma and there, everyone has the right to feel that way too. But it just sucks.
Like, yeah.
That these people ruin humanity in a way, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it sucks that it's a thing, you know?
Yeah, everybody's like on edge, especially like in the times now, you know, everything is happening, BLM, like riots, all this stuff, like everything. So everybody's like on high alert,
on edge, over politicized. Mm-hmm. Well, I know you have some notes here. I just want to, we're kind of diving into the people treating you differently and stuff here, but I kind of want to go into the where was I at here? Sorry. I completely lost my train of thought. I don't want to say I'm tiptoeing, but I definitely am, because it's a different type of conversation I'm used to. Mm-hmm. Where was I at there with the I want to say, like, I don't want to say jokes on television yet, but like we're in that same realm with like the media. Shit, what was I gonna say? I'm sorry, just continue with your story with the guy. Sorry.
All right, so
hopefully it'll bounce back to me.
Yeah. So we'll go from like where I left off with children and youth and stuff. So basically I told them to like get lost. Like I wasn't saying anything and I couldn't.
Just shut down.
Yeah. So I went on to continue being bad. You know, I acted out with my parents being split from when I was young. That probably didn't help. The abuse I went through as a child. I don't want to go and say stories and ruin, you know, like my parents, like, well, not my parents, but just like anybody's like reputation or anything.
This is a tough one. If you don't answer, you don't have to, but I'm just trying to put in perspective the people listening, where more stuff can be added onto this. When this went down, were you in the care and custody of your one parent?
Yeah, I was basically, so until fifth grade, I lived with my mom and my stepdad, which they weren't married, but he's taken care of me my whole life.
Yeah.
So,
Were they friends with this guy?
Like no, just my father was.
So was it a thing where your mom kind of blamed your dad for everything, like for things because you, it's not your dad's fault. But because they were split, not all divorces are great. And you're always trying to find like each parent is now splitting the duties of protecting a child.
Mm-hmm.
And if something happens on one of their watches, it's like the first thing to do is like, oh my God, I'm not going to hear the end of it from their mother. You know what I mean? Type deal.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't really know. Even if there was, I didn't see it.
So it wasn't something that was put in front, like, which is good on your parents there. If it did happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know even if they tried to do that intentionally, but they never really seen eye to eye anyway, so it's kind of just whatever, I guess, you know.
I just didn't know if that was another element to like, oh, now I feel bad because I got my dad in trouble with my mom or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and honestly, I was probably just scared more of my dad retaliating. And also my uncle is a prison guard at the same prison he went to. Mm. So unfortunately, he wasn't allowed to be near him. So, That guy's lucky, I tell you that.
It's definitely very, very hard to not want to retaliate and do action, but it's tough. It's really tough. All right, so let's progress story a little bit here.
All right, so for years I went on like not telling anybody, scared, still like upset, like everyday life, just anything could happen during a day, and it would just make me think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always be sad, like depressed, and like not want to do like bother with anybody. So that's why, like, one of the things I have is like friendships and relationships. I never allowed myself to get fully close with people because I was always scared of, you know, something, and I never told anybody because I didn't want them to.
Were you afraid of judgment?
Yeah.
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 Like, if you told them, they would be like, they would look down on you, or more trauma of being picked on for,
mm-hmm. yeah,
once again, the being gay or something like, yep, that. Yeah.
And,
which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then like, even like when I was in like middle school, high school, early high school, like relationships that I've had, they weren't long at all because I would get scared of commitment. And I know I'm so glad actually that none of those, were long enough, because mm-hmm. I actually, you know, met someone that I plan on spending the rest of my life with.
Good.
So
when, if this is too personal, you don't have to, but like, I just know for me, he's a growing teen, and you have those feelings, and like, was that ever a barrier for you? Were you like afraid to cross that realm and getting physical with someone else because you?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was a virgin till, yeah, I was like 16, which doesn't seem bad, but mm-hmm. like when you're a guy and you have like, you're popular, like I was, not to sound like a douche or anything.
Yeah, I know.
But like I had friends, they'd be like, "Well, why didn't you get?" And like, blah, 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 stuff like that. Like, oh, like, I'm not, so you're not as cool as us, and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So,
which is real things that happen in school,
yeah,
where
yeah.
you're kind of, you lose status because you haven't had sex yet, which is kid stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why, like, I don't know. You know Danny Duncan?
Mm.
He's like a YouTuber, pretty famous, but well, he's like really famous, actually, like 5,000 or 5 million subscribers.
Danny, share me.
But, he one has day, like a shirt day. That says virginity rocks, which he's not a virgin, but he respects people that are virgins, you know, like,
yeah.
He doesn't want anybody just to go out and sell themselves, like, not like for money, but just doesn't want to give that away because mm-hmm. that's like something that should be personal, you know?
Yeah, it's your choice. Absolutely. Yeah. Guy or girl. There was actually a dude who was just on, what was it? The Circle? You ever watch The Circle on Netflix? It's like a social interaction type thing / reality show.
Okay.
And this dude on it is like jacked, 6-9-pack abs,
yeah.
looks great, and he was a virgin.
Yeah.
And it was his choice, and he talked about it a lot in the show, of like overcoming it and going through school and getting bullied for wanting to make that choice. But what I'm just saying with you is like the only ever experience you had in that realm has been trauma.
Mm.
Was it hard to then make that jump to?
Yeah, so, like most of my relationships wouldn't last more than 2 to 3 weeks, and there's like,
Would it get close to there and you would just bail?
No, I wouldn't even let it get close, honestly. Yeah. Like, I wasn't one of them people either that, like, you know, wanted to force that or, like, you mm-hmm. know. So basically, like, I would think about the relationship too much and get scared, so I would break up with them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
you're grown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, if every girl I've dated, because I don't know, I don't really count a lot of the high school stuff.
Yeah, I don't either.
But it's just like, you're not always going to be the hero in everyone's story.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean? But yeah. a lot of people probably didn't know you were going through what you were going through as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So now it's like, once again, you're like, I hate this person because he's horrible and he's the biggest villain in my story. But you're like, you don't know his side of the story.
Yeah. And that's another thing too. Like, I hope this story, you know, reaches out to people who maybe dislike me or, you know, don't like me because of how I am or who I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want them to know that it's because of my past.
Yeah.
And if you would talk to me now, I'm a totally different person. It's like outgoing and, you know,
you've overcome a lot of your trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point now, when this is going on, was he still under investigation? Was he caught? Was he arrested?
He was arrested with, I believe, no bail.
Did you know any of the other kids that were involved?
from being there, yes.
Yeah.
And then eventually I think I went on to, when I moved, I won't say where, but I think I was in the same school as them. They're a few grades above me.
Yeah.
But
did you ever have a conversations with them or?
Nah, I wouldn't want to bring that up on somebody.
Yeah. I didn't know if you guys, if there's anyone else who went through that situation, if you guys had common ground to speak to one another or.
Yeah. I kind of lost touch with all of them after it happened.
Just, yeah.
You know, because you want to distance yourself kind of. So.
Yeah. It's completely understandable. Yeah.
Definitely.
I just know my mentality. I'd be like, hey, can we talk? Like, I need somebody here. That's just my thing. Like, I try to, I don't know. I'm a weirdo. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. So he's arrested. No bail.
Yep. And then kind of just after that, lived as much as a normal life as I could. Stopped seeing therapists, stopped seeing counselors, just tried to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So then probably around 2013, I got a letter in the mail saying like, you know, they're going to try to see you and work with a schedule, or his sentence. I mean, sorry. They're going to give him less of a sentence now. And I guess I had to like testify with the other kids too. And, they locked them up longer still. Like they, you know, listened to us. And then just in 2018, they sent me that and saying they were going to release him on good behavior. So I wrote a note back saying like, you know, why I don't think they should. And eventually I probably will or might retaliate against him. Because legally they give me his address and, so I'll always know where he lives, but I'm not really the type of person to retaliate. So just got to try to move on.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're a kid going through this, even now, like, and they have those no things, they don't make you come into court and like face him or see him or.
No, actually that one in 2013, I was supposed to, but I told him I didn't want to.
Yeah.
So then just the one they sent in like 2018 was just, I could do whatever I could. I think I put that I would do it. But they never like gave me like a date for trial or anything. So
yeah, that's a tough thing right there. Like, would you, I mean, obviously he's out of the court system and stuff now, but, if there ever was a situation where like, when like as an adult, say he was now still in incarcerated, would that face to face want to have, like, would you, is that something you'd like look forward, like would do, or
like would I want to meet him?
Yeah.
I don't really care. Like,
no?
If I do, I do. If I don't, then whatever, you know. It's,
yeah,
like even if he had like a trial or something and I had to be there, it's, if it helped him stay in longer, then yes, I would go. But if there was no like effect from me being there, then I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Here, this is just me speaking. I'm not speaking for anyone who's gone through this. I went through something when I was young, mm-hmm. and I didn't realize I went through it until I was much older. I was like, oh shit, that was actually a thing.
Yeah.
With a neighbor growing up, and it was Nick. Now me, knowing me now, I'm definitely different than most, because I struggle with compassion and empathy, and also like hearing people's stories to the point where I even struggle with like, well, what did you go through,
mm-hmm.
that led you to the events to then do this to me?
Mm-hmm.
So not so much that I put blame on myself, or I or I'm not truly hating of the person. I'm more or less interested of what they went through that led them to what they did.
Yeah,
almost like, kind of like giving them a pass almost. And I'm not, mm-hmm. saying that's good. That's good for anybody.
Yeah.
But that's just what helps me.
Mm-hmm.
Because like for me, holding on to stuff is just too much. I personally can't do it. So I always like, I know for me, like I've never talked or seen the person that I went through the situation with, but I know I would probably want to sit down and have a conversation and be like, are you like, especially if they're out, like, are you legit sorry for what you did? Is this going to be an issue again?
Yeah.
Are you changed? What did you do to change? What did you go through before this that led you to do this to us? Like,
mm-hmm.
they're all questions that me personally, I would be like craving for, and it would probably drive me crazy.
I don't think I would be able to like face to face ask him those, because I think I would probably freeze up just with so much like anger.
Mm-hmm.
But like you know, like an investigator, if they wanted to ask him that stuff, I would definitely, you know, watch it or listen.
Want to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I always wonder, like, why me?
Yeah.
And, like, why the other kids?
And obviously there was a system here because he had six kids.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just six that he was caught with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So obviously, like, this person was really, really damaged, or there was something going on there. Mm-hmm. And that's where my brain is like, I need to know.
Yeah. Like, even with a kid on the way, like, if you, like, you have a wife and, like, obviously you're having a kid, so there's not a problem sexually there. Unless, you know, maybe it was forceful where,
mm-hmm.
so.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, I would listen, just not be able to ask myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. That would drive me insane. Just me personally. So we'll dive into here with, like, the media stuff that we were going to talk about before. I completely lost where I think I was going to ask, like, did you, about the kids, like, did you know any of them and stuff like
okay.
that? So one of the things, and this is a conversation we had on another podcast, is dealing with jokes on television and music and that involved sexual assault and abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stand on that, or is it?
I think there's, like, a point that shouldn't be crossed, or like mm-hmm. a line that shouldn't be crossed in certain things. And, like, growing up in Schuylkill County, like, any single place you go, there's going to be jokes about it.
Yeah. I think going back to what we were saying before, sorry to cut you off, but okay. I think what we're going back to before is, I think there's a lot more trauma than people realize or is out there.
Yeah.
And I know me personally, we talked about off camera, how I deal with uncomfortable situations or past trauma or even, like, physical or sexual abuse. I make jokes about it because it helps me. Now, I know that's not the ladder for everybody. Some people hear a joke and, like, don't joke about that.
Yeah.
And that's completely respectable too. But you have to realize everyone deals with their trauma in their own way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I do, like, appreciate dark humor too. Like, it does help me as well.
Oh, it's all, but I, like, lean on it heavily.
There's like certain, like, things that you just don't say because it's not a joke, even though no matter how you word it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, TV and stuff, you know, when they reenact things and stuff, it just brings all the thoughts back into your head.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I can't watch this show anymore. Like, maybe last winter, not the winter that just passed, the one before, I was actually sitting with my fiance and her parents watching a show, and something like that came up, and I just got so sick to my stomach, like, I had to leave the room and everything. And
you don't realize, and this is the point that that somebody brought up on our podcast, and I love her to death, and it was something that I think I'm still, like, 50-50 on, because I'm still, like, under the impression that if someone creates something, they should have the right to create what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that those warnings should have to definitely be there. But really sitting down and, like, talking to them and then having this conversation, and you start diving into, like, your favorite TV shows or movies that mm-hmm. exist, you would be – it's insane when you really boil it down and think, like – different traumas that are in each one of those shows or episodes that can be harmful to people.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, especially like rape scenes, mm-hmm. Just like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
One of the most popular television shows ever, but the first season's very heavily,
you know what I mean?
A lot of that's in there. Me and my wife are huge horror movie fans.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of horror movies.
Oh yeah.
Depict that.
Yep. Like, I think we were watching, like, a criminal type of, like...
No, Law & Order SVU, which is all about sexual... Yeah. All about sexual assault and stuff.
Yeah, it's tough, like... And then, like, you kind of try to ignore it because, you know, it's a show.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the part of you that's like, fuck, I went through that. Like,
yeah. It's definitely, once again, one of those catch-22s, because they want to also bring awareness and show what a lot of these victims go through the court system,
mm-hmm.
and why a lot of victims don't want to tell their stories because they don't want to go through that court system. So I think sometimes those shows are helpful if you can handle the... see the depictions and the story and hear the reenactments or mm-hmm. the story, but I think that's the biggest obstacle that they come through when it comes to trying to prosecute, then go through, is these people don't want to go through that situation. They don't want to sit in court and look at the person. They don't want to talk about it. They want to shut down, because mm-hmm. that's what, I mean, me personally, I'm the same way. I just shut off.
That's how I was.
Yeah.
Now, like, it took me 14 years or whatever it is to finally be able to tell the full thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously I can't provide all the information on here, but,
absolutely no, and I wouldn't expect you to,
but, like, I wouldn't mind, like, going, like, going on whatever Good Morning America and telling my story or writing a book and having it published, like,
yeah,
I would love to be able to do that. Unfortunately, I can't really.
There is a lot of places I feel like you can go to locally. Like, there's a lot of places that you can go and, like, speak to people and tell your story. I know the biggest one for me, did you ever hear of Culture to Culture?
I did not.
Culture to Culture, I don't know if they still run it, or I have to look into it more, because they usually run the same nights that we do podcasts on Friday nights.
Okay.
But if you search Culture to Culture on Facebook, it's pretty much people who are going through anything, like drug, alcohol, sexual assault, abuse, sex trafficking, all of it. And they have, like, each week they have different topics, and they would come in and everyone would have a conversation about it. And then you can go up on stage and kind of, I don't want to say it's like an AA meeting, because that's what I'm describing kind of sounds one. But it's more or less like people can come off the streets. It's an open forum that people can come in and they have some music. I've hosted a few podcasts there and I got to talk to some people. And it's really healing for people to really speak about it. You know, but my biggest thing was my anxiety, depression, and I struggled a lot growing up with, like, suicide ideology, where it's just like, I didn't want to be here. And it's something I still struggle with. I mean, I'm not going to hurt myself, but it's just like,
I'm the same exact.
It's one of those things where, like, if death knocked at the door, I'm not running. You know what I mean? Like, hey, come on in. You know what I mean? One of those type of deals. Yeah. Like, but I'm not going to conflict it myself, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's something I had to start speaking about, and the way I leaned into being able comfortable to tell my friends, like, because you obviously don't want to tell somebody and then someone's like, every 3 seconds, like, are you going to die? Like, are you going to, like, I'm like, no, man. Like, but when you open that door, you have to be willing to, like, everyone's going to be asking if you're okay a lot more, which is kind of embarrassing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But like, my dark humor led me to being
free about
comfortable
it.
Enough to actually have the conversation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you know the good touch, bad touch lady that goes around, like, schools and stuff?
No.
Okay, so...
Well, you see that being depicted on, like, TV a lot, where it's like... And it's usually in a joking manner, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's what... I forget, like, what her actual name is, but she's from, like, Mount Carmel, I believe.
Yeah.
And I played football with her son, and she basically would go around schools and, like, you know, would help prevent situations from happening and, like, spread awareness and stuff. And I'd be sitting in, like, the classrooms watching, like, her presentation, and, like, I would feel so out of place because it happened to me already. So, like, most of the time I would just go down to the guidance counselor's office and just be away from that.
Yeah.
But, like, now I would love to, you know, like, go up on stage with her, like, because they do, like, some things in the auditorium for, like, all the grades.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would definitely be interested in going and, you know, maybe helping talk about it, or even people that have went through it.
Yeah.
And
just be like, you're not alone. Like,
yeah.
You can talk to me. You know what I mean? 'Cause I think that what happens is a lot of times is when you're around lawyers and police officers and your parents and guidance counselors, you kind of know, even at a young age, you're like, these people are just, this is their job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nobody, like, actually cares.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They see it all the time.
And then it's just like, once again, reaching to that person that you wouldn't expect, like being that young kid looking for that role model or something, and then they see someone who's not an older or an adult, like a younger guy like yourself, and just be like, I probably feel, and then you're like, hey man, like, I've been there. Right, if you want to talk, we're here. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like that big brother big sister thing almost, in a way.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I think that's definitely needed, you know what I mean?
And especially, like, with me, like, being well known in the area and stuff, like, there's probably 500 people in the county I know. I bet you 10 of them only know, like, that it's happened to me.
Yeah.
And
well, I give you a lot of praise, man, for,
thank you,
for willing to come out and do that and doing it here, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the thing is too, is, like, I think we live in a time where so much negativity dwells everywhere, media, everything, music, all of that, where everything's just, like, negative or not putting the best light out. But the fact that, like, there are these companies who do an amazing job and these things are great, but then one bad person infiltrates, does something terrible, and everyone shuts that entire... Like, we kind of made a joke about earlier about that, going to that school.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some people who went through that program and did amazing things.
Oh, yeah.
But you hear the stories where, like, people were being sent there against their will and stuff like that. And then
they don't see their families. That, they told me you only get to see your parents on holidays.
Oof.
And they could come visit you on a weekend.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's crazy. Yeah. Trying to think here. Is there anything else that we didn't really touch on? You're killing it, brother.
Let's see.
You're the first person that came with notes like this too, by the way.
Really?
At 110 episodes.
Yeah. That's awesome. Basically, We'll just touch up on number 9 and then 10 there.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody that I know, or even if I don't know you and you want to reach out to me and explain your story or even just, you know, talk somewhat about it, I'll be there to help as much as I can. I just want to let everybody know that has gone through it that you're not alone. And if you need help, get help. If you don't, that's fine. It doesn't make you any different. I respect your choice. So leading to number 10 there, I would eventually like to, you know, maybe open up like a group or something that helps people be able to talk about it. Even if they don't want to talk about it, just come and listen to other people's story, maybe, you know, help, their self cope with it. That'd be a pretty big accomplishment for me.
Yeah. I mean, you can even do that on a social media level with like private groups and Facebook.
Yeah.
Like start small, you know what I mean? Because sometimes people are more comfortable just doing over a computer, you know?
Mm.
The only thing I definitely, and it's kind of the overall theme of just the entire podcast in general, is just being open-minded.
Yeah.
When it comes to how people deal with things, are before saying I don't like somebody for this or that, and we're all not perfect, everyone makes mistakes, even myself, like I still make these mistakes in my daily life of just not trying to be understanding to everybody.
Yeah.
And I know people are like, oh, that's that PC liberal bullshit. It's really not, it's just being a better person. Mm-hmm. it truly it is. Everyone deals with trauma their own way, you know. Yeah. What I mean. What for me, my dark humor and making jokes is not going to be the same way that somebody else handles their trauma. And we have gone through the same thing, maybe on a different level, but we're never going to meet in the middle because of the way we both handle and treat our trauma.
Yeah, like, or even how we were raised.
Exactly. But you have to realize, you have to kind of take a step back and be like, hey, even though this helps me, I have to be respectful to that person, and that person also has to be respectful. That's the way I deal with my trauma. And I think opening that conversation and opening that dialogue and understanding that we all deal with things differently and we all go through things differently is very, very important.
Yeah.
And that goes beyond sexual assault victims or violence victims or domestic, like anything. It could, mm-hmm, it can literally come down to how you tie your shoes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like everything, like, because we're so polarized and so pulled in different directions of political agendas and what we see on TV and the news and this. Yeah. And that, it's just, we need to just be willing to have those conversations and be like, hey, even though I'm strong in my convictions, there's no way that we're all going to help each other and get better in any situation if we don't have that give and take.
Yeah, there's like such a divide right now, like especially like within people expressing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I see it on TV and
like
stuff.
People are like, it's, we're in Pride Month, and
yeah,
people get offended when they see Pride stuff. It's like,
yeah,
they're offended that someone has the courage now to come out and speak out and say I am who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just these are the same people that, like, these people who are now comfortable doing that, like, not so long ago, there was laws against them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or people were so afraid to be who they were, they would kill themselves, or they would go through depression, or they would hurt other people, or, you know, anything like that would happen. And it's just, so it, I think it's a very, like, those things are important. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, if you have any other questions?
Well, just maybe shift gears a little, and in a little bit of a line, like, yeah, like hobby wise, what do you, like you said, you know, you said you do a lot now, but, did, like, what do you do for fun or?
So currently, I play in like a beer softball league.
Okay.
I'm
terrible at baseball and softball. I have no hand eye coordination. I can do almost anything pretty well. I cannot. I think it's because I have bad shoulders too.
Yeah.
But I cannot just hit a ball with a baseball bat. I'm terrible at it.
It definitely takes practice. It's not something, you know, just some random person is gonna pick up.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've been doing that on every Sunday. I do that in Shamokin. And other than that, honestly, I just work and sit at home.
Mm-hmm. What do you do? But without the company, like, what do you like?
Oh, I'm a diesel technician at Penske.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I work third shift as well.
That's so horrible, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's see. You know, I like to go and try to eat at new places and stuff. Like to be out with nature and everything. You know, going up hiking, whatever.
Nice. Where are you currently? Like, what town now are you in?
That I live in.
Yeah,
Girardville.
Oh, yeah, Girardville.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
My mom was raised in Girard River for a little while.
Oh, that's a shame.
Right across from the old roller skating rink.
Ooh, I don't even know about
that. So you know where Tony's is?
Yep.
On the other corner of that big building, on that really big building?
Oh, yeah.
So across the street from that is another really big white bluish house.
Yeah.
It used to be a funeral home.
Yeah.
And then it was turned into a house. Oh. My mom was raised in that for a while.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's some Girardville in me. I wasn't there for it, but...
Yeah, that's probably where the aggression came out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was just thinking of the school county in general. I also was raised in Money City where...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man, I feel bad.
Get tough or die. go Bears.
So, let's see, what else? Yeah, I just play video games, you know.
What are you playing?
Warzone, Fortnite.
I'm a Fortnite guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you try the new season yet?
Yeah, I just bought... the whole battle pass.
So did I. I wanted Rick.
Yeah, I got that. I'm about to get the slime version of him.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing it, is because I want to because I think it's kind of cool that there's more to that.
Yeah,
post
different
thing.
Yeah, yeah. And you see the black Superman and everything too.
I'm like a huge DC guy. I awesome. Love Batman. I spent a little too much money buying all the DC skins.
Yeah.
I don't. People hate on it and say like it's a kid game. I was like, I think it's made for everybody.
Whatever.
I think
you have it has fun with.
I think it has a nice balance. I think it's a pretty good. I just suck at building. I don't build.
Oh, I'm pretty good.
I hate building. If someone starts building, I'm like, they're gonna fucking kill me.
I've been playing with my girlfriend and my fiance and her brother, like every single night that we can, and they both can't build very well. But
yeah, we gotta get your names. We'll link up. And
yeah,
play.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I try to game. I'm trying to get back into it more. I think now that we're down to three shows, I want to, because when I stream, I have to take everything upstairs. Yeah. But I want to get back into streaming.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I was doing it for a little bit there, and I was having some fun. And I was not saying I was getting a lot of train track, but I was getting there.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to add that element back and game stream.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
that's definitely. Hop on the game.
We do
together.
We do have some people following. Dallas gave you the heart there, and then he also said, I'm proud of you, bro.
I appreciate that. Love you, buddy.
We have I don't have a date locked in with him, but we did talk about him coming on and talking about his music and stuff, so that's definitely in the future. Yeah. Plans to have him on and talk. I will say this. I want to tell you also shared it, but I want to appreciate that, and I give a shout-out to a lot of people who are listening. It is very, very important to reach out to people like that are creators, you know, because me personally, I was going through not like a rough patch, but like when I was doing the five shows, I was like, man, I'm going to let people down by not doing it.
Yeah.
And then I just kept forcing myself because I felt like I was going to let someone down.
Yeah.
But then like also I wasn't getting any feedback for like almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, well, should I just end it? Because no one's telling me if they enjoy it or not. Like the numbers are there. I can see people are watching and listening, but there's no engagement. Like no one's hitting like, no one's saying like a comment like, hey, I really like what you're talking about, or I hate what you're talking about. Like, so it's like you do it for like 3 years and it's just like, well, we're going to take it away. And the people are like, oh man, I really missed that show. And I was like, man, what you could have done with just saying hi or hitting share just to let me know that you're participating would have been huge.
Yeah, that's like my YouTube channel. Like I just did a review on my girlfriend just bought a dirt bike. So like I did a review on it and that's over 11,000 views now.
I've never even gotten close to that on YouTube. I think the most I ever hit was like 500 views.
Yeah. Before that, like I would stream Fortnite and I posted like a couple stupid things.
Yeah.
They maybe got like, they didn't even get over 300 views, but I posted that dirt bike review, over 11,000 views. I'm at like 50 subscribers now. Before that video, I had like 4.
Yeah.
And if I go through, well, besides like Dallas and maybe like Harry and like 2 other people I know, my closest friends, I bet you aren't even subscribed to it.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough, especially when you're like chasing that dream. Because we live in a time now where like people are like, stop being a musician or stop being an artist or stop being this, get a real job. It's like it's all just part of the design to keep people down and just be orderly and factory workers.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then whenever you do make it, if you do, which I hope everybody makes it, they're gonna expect the most.
Yeah.
Like
I was there the whole time, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I'm looking forward to those days. And when you start getting popular, too, you find out who your true friends are, which is always...
It's always people you don't know who are better friends than, you know, people...
Some of the biggest supporters of this podcast are people I didn't even know before.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how it always will be. And, you know, it's a good thing, you know. It gets the fake people out. Nothing you could do about it, but
yeah,
you got to keep moving.
It's hard. It's a tough gig, you know. It's crazy because I think I know it was like a huge joke and a meme. I mean, I made $400 off it, but like the Dogecoin thing,
yeah,
like there's power in numbers of people.
Yeah.
Like if you have 400 people who like are your friend, those 400 people subscribing to a YouTube channel or hitting share or hitting mm-hmm. like, are those 400 people telling another, like you have the, like as up and coming people,
yeah.
you have like, how was like support small business. Mm-hmm. If everyone just kind of got together and said, hey, we're going to go out and support these six businesses these 6 days and not give our money to Walmart.
Yeah.
As a small community, you can help each other grow and thrive and make your area better. Well, you can do the same thing with content creators or musicians or anything like that.
That's like
the power of numbers.
That's like the Barstool, you know who
yeah.
they are? Yeah, they did that. They did the small business thing. They went to like so many different companies and just threw huge donations down.
Yep.
And
well, that was the same thing. They went, they started like a podcast or a radio yeah. show. They got huge.
Yeah.
And then they took what they did. And instead of being rich and famous and being greedy and keeping it all, they're all comfortable. They're
yeah.
doing well
yeah,
for themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're also taking money to be like, let's go back and give businesses a look.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a huge, like, at first when I start hearing a Barstool, I was like, oh, these are just like older guys who want to be frat boys still.
Yeah.
And I was not into it. And then I start like, actually knowing what they stand for and what they mean and what they're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
they do great things.
Oh yeah,
and they make great money, and they like that's a goal. Like
yeah.
I would love to be the Schuylkill County Barstool in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be
where
awesome.
Where I can do well, but also I can get to the point where I'm comfortable enough that I can also help others.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You know, like even if you expand this, like you have, you know, two other people going and interviewing people around Pennsylvania who
yeah.
just you know want to see it, and then like you know eventually
it's crazy when. You know how many people I've reached at like local platforms that have decent followings and I reached out to and like, do you want to collaborate? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
Because some people just only are out for themselves.
Yeah. You know? they just want to be involved with people who are bigger than them just so they could reach more. But like,
he said, don't forget to mention every time you get your ass beat when we play Madden. Who's your team?
Vikings.
Okay. Sorry to hear that.
That's it.
You guys have our trash with Kirk Cousins. I'm so happy he's not on my team anymore.
I actually just got tagged in a thing. He has the best pass completion percentage.
Yeah, but he's horrible when he has to do a comeback.
Oh, yeah.
You know why he has the best pass completions? And this is coming from someone who watched him for 5 years. He only throws 5-yard checkdowns.
Yeah.
He doesn't take any risks.
Yeah. Well, he has Adam Thielen or yeah. whatever. He's an animal.
Yeah. He doesn't want to... It seems like he doesn't want to win games, but even if they get blown out by 100, if he threw 16 for 18 and 300 yards, he's happy because he looks like he has a perfect passing rating.
Yeah.
But he's never going to take a shot downfield. Mm. He's never going to try to advance a drive. He's not looking for a first down.
Yeah.
He's very selfish.
Maybe he is. I never got into him that much. He was on the Redskins for the longest time, ain't?
Yeah.
I watched him then, and I didn't think he was very good. And
yeah,
then
I'm
all of a sudden
fan.
He came to the Vikings and he was okay.
Dude, we got Fitzmagic, baby. I'm so pumped for that guy.
Yeah.
He's just a wild man.
And
fucking wild man.
You see Julio Jones just went to the Titans?
Yeah.
That's going to be insane.
I mean, they're still the Titans, all right? I mean, they have a good running back.
Well, they also have that other wide receiver. What the hell is his name? I only know him from...
Just come in a little closer.
Yeah, I only know him from his Instagram name, but...
Yeah,
I know he used to be good when he was a rookie.
Here's another comment here. Someone I really, really love. Bobby Holmes. Dustin's a great kid / guy. Man, I'm getting old. Bobby is one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in my life.
100%. He's my neighbor.
Is he?
Well, used to be when I lived in Locustale where he lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, he could have been like a role model to me. He always helped me growing up with anything like dirt bikes, mm-hmm. bicycles, anything.
Got great kids.
Oh,
all of
yep.
his kids are superstars.
Yep.
Just I don't know, he's a good dude, man. I really like him.
All around, one of the best guys in school.
One of my coaching. There's not. I'm gonna probably throw some shade here, but there's not many people that I've coached with in the past that I cherish moments.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's just like I got to get out of here. I hate what I'm like. I love coaching, but I can't stand who I'm coaching with.
Yeah.
Bobby is the number one and top person who
yeah.
I absolutely loved coaching with.
Yeah.
He was such a good person.
Because
we both had the same mentality of why we were there, and it was to make sure that the kids were learning, but also having fun.
Yeah.
If we knew where we were, practice was tough. We were in a school district that just didn't really give a shit about soccer.
Yeah.
And we were playing schools that sent their kids to Europe to
yeah.
get better.
Yeah.
And they had 30-some kids, and we had 12.
12, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So we were just like, hey, make sure they stay safe. No one gets hurt. Go out there and have a good time. And let's get on the bus and sing frozen on the way home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm playing football. You lose a game, you get in the bus, and everyone has to be upset or angry. Like, we would get blown out like 15-0, and we'd be on the bus singing and having a good time. Because, like, not saying we didn't want to win. Obviously, that was always there. But we knew what we were up against. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Bobby's always a good person to be around to keep you level-headed when you don't feel like a failure because your team just got blown up by 15.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I've been around him for a long time, and he's one of the best overall people I've ever met. Even with all of his kids too. All of his kids are perfect.
Yep.
At least to me.
Yeah. They're all amazing. Good family.
Yeah.
Hope he's still listening. He's probably already checked out. He's like, I'm fucking mad. I'm gonna come in. But thank you guys so much for the comment. Dallas, you're killing it today, brother. I appreciate the comment so much. They don't call him Kirk Clutchins. Yeah, they definitely don't call him that. sorry, that was corny. But yeah, man, I really want to thank you again. This was it was a good conversation.
Yeah,
I'm really, really happy you reached out. I'd love to have you back anytime you want.
Yeah, definitely.
And we'll definitely continue this friendship. And you know, if you ever need anything, I'm always here.
I appreciate that. Versa. Same to you.
Yeah. Anything in closing? Anybody? When we get plugged, Dallas. You know.
Yeah. No, shout out to Dallas, Harry Collins, anybody else that's trying to make a name for themselves. Just do great things, be positive, peace and love.
Peace and love. A little Beatles thing there at the end. Thank you guys so much. If you are watching still, a share goes a long way. Let people know that this podcast exists. We always try to have new people on. There was a time there where this was behind the scenes, I was going to end this show. And someone was like, do not do that.
I think
what you're doing is great. And I was like, I have nobody. Like, nobody, like, I can't get anyone on the show.
It takes time.
And I didn't put a post out or anything. I just was like, I just kind of put in the universe, like, hey, if this is going to change, it has to change now, or I'm done. I'm just going to tap out and I'm going to go to a different show. And because I have the five other ones that are gaining traction.
Mm-hmm.
And in literally like a 4-month span, I got hammered. So I'm literally booked all of June, all of July, and starting in August.
That's good.
So I have a lot of cool content, a lot of cool people coming on. And there's people who are not even from this area, which is exciting.
That's awesome.
They reached out to me. And I don't even know how they found it, which is the reason they found it is because people are sharing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Which is really helpful because I am not paying YouTube or Facebook for interactions.
Yeah,
there's too many podcasters out there who are like, I'm killing it. I have 10,000 subscribers. I'm like, how much did you pay for it? And they're like, a lot. And I was like, they're not real. Like, that's just, they're inflating your numbers. Like, and I refuse to do that.
I know, like, if people would, like, if I hit 100 subscribers on my YouTube channel, I'd be able to start making money off videos.
It's 1,000.
Oh, is it 1,000?
100 gets you your own bar. Like, you can change your, so you go to youtube.com/interviews everyday people.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what 100 gets you.
Oh, okay.
I'm stuck at 500.
Okay. Maybe I read that wrong.
Yeah. I'm stuck at 500. I can't make money till 1,000.
I'll buy you some.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, if you guys check the links below, we're on all social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. But we're out there if you want to support. Shares go a long way. I want to thank Dallas. He's still here. He's definitely the biggest person around who's been sharing my content, which is awesome because he hasn't even been on it yet.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. And please, you can use my platforms and community pages to share your content as well. Easily the best podcast around here. I need a book sometime. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. We'll have you on soon. Maybe we'll shoot for like something in August or something. But yeah, thank you guys so much. Interviews with Everyday People. Thank you again, man.
Yep, thank you.
I'm glad you did this. We'll see you guys soon. Here's some Steve Fulton to get us out of here. Apologies to everyone.